Today we have Sherry Roy with us here in the studio, who is running as an independent candidate in the provincial election. Welcome, Sherry, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
We're very happy to have you here. So the first question is, were you involved in politics or interested in political matters before this election?
No, not at all.
First time?
Yes.
So what was it that made you decide to run in this particular election?
Well, in the beginning, it was because I said I wasn't going to vote. And the reason I wasn't going to vote is that I'm kind of tired of every 4 years voting out a party to only 4 years later vote them out. And I'm, you know, kind of disillusioned with the system at this point. And I thought, what's the point? And then I started talking to a lot of people who feel the same way as I do. I found out that 60 to 70% of BC didn't vote in the last election. And what I realize is that's not working for us. I've got 8 grandchildren, and I'm very concerned about what their future looks like under the governing of this province, and specifically our communities. And so I was actually looking for an independent candidate to represent our area when many people said, if you run, I'd vote for you. I finally looked in the mirror and thought, if not me, who? And if not now, when? So here I am.
Are you originally from the Shuswap?
I was born and raised in Ontario. I went to the University of Toronto, graduated in 1980, moved to Calgary, lived there for about 5 years. And then in 1986, I was heading back to Ontario. I missed the water and the trees, and I went to Expo, and I met my husband. And we live in Armstrong. We've got 4 children, 8 grandchildren. We've been married for 37 years, and so you just never know what your future looks like.
So what was your life like growing up before you came to this area?
I grew up on a farm. My dad still lives on the 100 acres that I grew up on. And, you know, it was a lifestyle that, you know, we grew our own food. We learned to be stewards of the land. We knew our neighbors. Very community orientated, a farming community, and it was a great life.
What's your living situation now?
So my husband and I have 7 acres in Armstrong. At this point, we have 2 sons that are living on our property. Not only can they not afford to buy a place for themselves, they can't afford to rent. And so we have one son that lives in a fifth wheel, and his 3 boys come every weekend. And then another son who's young, well, he's 33 and single and living in a cabin, because even still, you know, all his money would go towards rent. And so we have a very nice property. Over the last 4.5 years, I've hosted many events at our home to build community, to bring us together. 'Cause I believe that nobody's coming to save us. There's no government that's going to solve what we need to do as we the people. I believe in we the people, for the people, by the people.
So what sort of work or other activities have you been involved in over the years?
Okay, well, my background is social work. I've spent a lot of time in family court. I'm a counselor. I'm a mediator. And I'm a certified holistic health coach. So I try, and I work with families, with children. I actually worked with the Boys and Girls Club in Armstrong and worked a lot with School District 83 for children who had, you know, parents who were struggling to manage their children. And I'm a believer that we need to get back to the basics, and that starts by feeding our children, not chemically laden foods, not dyes, not things that affect their brain, but getting back to, you know, homegrown food, teaching them how to grow food, how to prepare it. I have two grandsons who are homeschooled. They hatch their own eggs and have chicken layers now. And I think about the value of teaching children those skills at early ages. And I really think that that's where we need to get back to correct some of the, you know, problems that we're facing out there today.
What is it that keeps you here in this part of the world?
Well, my husband is from BC, and our family, we have four children here and eight grandchildren. I see them regularly. We will see them on Monday for Thanksgiving. We do a lot of family events together. And so, you know, BC is my home now. I've lived here for 40 years. And, you know, I think it's really important that families, you know, stay together. I see my grandchildren every Tuesday. I've seen Remy just started grade one, and I've been with him every Tuesday since he was 1 year old. And now it's, you know, I realize what a blessing that is, because not a lot of grandparents get that opportunity. And not only that, I realize what a blessing it is for my daughter and son-in-law, because it takes a village to raise children.
Now, let's talk about being a candidate. What is it like being a candidate? Have you gone through, say, a training program?
Well, we're independent. I chose not to align with any party politics. As I say, you know, we keep voting out a party every 4 years. I think it's time we started voting in people who actually represent our communities, that will take our voice of the Shuswap to the legislature, where, you know, that's the other thing too. I find that independents have their own, their voice is the people, the constituents they represent. The party politics is a globalist agenda, and they aren't free to speak the truth. And we've seen that in the last, several months, with just some of the back and forth that they say one thing at one point and then they have to backtrack it because, you know, the media often isn't on our side. And, you know, I think it's important that we get the voice of the people, and that's going to come with the independent movement. I didn't know before this that at one point BC was all independent candidates. They were our neighbors. They didn't get into politics to get rich or long-term pensions. They were there as a voice of the community, and people trusted them. And starting in the 60s, when the party politics started to come in and take over, everything's changed, which is why 60 to 70% of BC don't see any reason to vote. So I believe that the independent movement, as independents speaking for their community, is something that we're going to see happen over the next, could be 10 or 20 years. But I fully expect within that period of time that the party politics will be pushed out and we will have independent candidates in every riding. And we are seeing it in Nova Scotia. Nova Scotia has their provincial election next year. Out of 55 ridings, they've got an independent running in every riding. So that speaks volumes about what the people want.
What's a typical day like for you now?
Well, I've got volunteers that are helping us put up signs. I actually had Jeb Weeb last night come up to me and say, "Wow, Sherry, your signs look great." So they're up. I was kind of slow to it. You know how it's like I had one foot in, one foot out. So I got started a little bit later than most, but you know, the more I got out there talking to people, the more I hear, "I'll vote for you." And I'm hearing that at the Chamber of Commerce town halls. I did one in Salmon Arm. Last night we were in Sikkimoose. Next week we'll be in North Shuswap and Silista. But every time, at every event, I get people coming up to me saying, thank you for telling me the truth. And they and then they qualify it saying, I'll vote for you. So it's a busy time. There's lots of people that, of course, want your attention. There's lots of issues out there that I'm not aware of. And I, you know, people are bringing me information that they want, you know, our elected officials to look at. And so I'm there to be that voice. I also believe that we don't need at this point a whole lot of independents at the legislature. We need a few of us to hold their feet to the fire. To, you know, what we need is transparency, accountability, and consequences. We also need to know where all the tax money's going. You know, we have lots of issues that I believe are being created by our government, but very little being resolved with the issues. So I think we need full transparency, and I'd like to see an audit of where the money's going.
Is being a candidate like you thought it would be?
I did, once I decided that this was something I was going to do. Prior to April, I didn't know what an independent was. I just knew that I wasn't going to vote. And someone said to me, if you're not going to vote, what's your solution? And I didn't have an answer. And so I realized, and I keep seeing my grandchildren. I want my grandchildren to tell their grandchildren, your grandmother fought for you. And so that's why I'm doing this. You know, I believe that we need to fight for our children, because if we don't, they're looking at a very different world than what I grew up in. And I think that's scary. So there's a lot of people out there that believe the same things that I believe, but they're quiet about it because, you know, there's so much divide that's been created by our government. And I believe that's intentional, because when people are divided and not coming together, we don't have solutions. People are coming together in this province, and we will be able to be the solutions that we need to bring to the table.
So what particular qualities do you feel you bring to your candidacy? What qualities do you have personally that make you a suitable candidate?
Well, for the last 4 years, I've been standing up for freedom. I've been standing up for our constitutional rights. So I've had a lot of people in the last 4 years contact me about how to go about that in a way that people are listening without, you know, it evolving into a much bigger issue. I've hosted countless events at my home. The largest one had 450 people show up, which surprised even me. And so people want solutions, and they know that they're neighbors. And when we come together, we can create solutions for our communities. So, you know, in the beginning, I didn't think I was the best candidate. I was actually trying to recruit other people, such as Gunter Rieger. He used to be the mayor of Spalmachine, and I thought he'd be a great candidate. And he finally looked at me and said, Sherry, if you run, I would vote for you. So I started to realize that I had put myself out there over the last 4.5 years. I had been a voice for our community. I got lots of phone calls when people's rights were being violated. I guess for me, it just, you know, evolved from a community member that wants to help her community to somebody who is now wanting to help our province.
What particular policies do you feel most strongly about or that resonate the most with you personally?
Wow, that's a big question, you know, because everywhere we look, the provincial government is creating more problems than it's resolving. Yet our taxes are the highest they've ever been. With the talk of more taxes, it seems like the NDP, that's all we hear is we're going to tax more, but we're not resolving the issues. We've got the economy. We've got housing. I've got 66-year-old women who are messaging me saying I'm homeless. Parents with children who are living in their vans. Parents who are selling their property to buy their children fifth wheels. You know, it's we live in Canada. Nobody should ever be homeless. Healthcare. You know, we have a million British Columbians without a doctor, yet our doctors and nurses are leaving the province in droves. Bill 36 explains why, and most people are not aware what Bill 36 does. It's a provincial mandate that all doctors, nurses, healthcare people have to toe the line of a provincial mandate, which means that they're not free to you know, be a doctor like we expect them to be. They're told what they can prescribe and what they can't. They face $500,000 fines and 6 months in jail. No wonder they're leaving the province. And so I believe that we need transparency and accountability. We need to understand why the BC government is passing these unlawful bills without our knowledge and consent. Homelessness. As I said, I have two sons that are living on our property because they not only cannot afford to buy a home, they can't afford to rent. Addiction. I'm a family counselor, behavior specialist. The safe supply is not something that's working. The Attorney General did a study and they found that there's been triple the deaths from overdoses since the government implemented a safe supply. Parental rights. Parents should be able to decide what's involved with their children. So, you know, we shouldn't have things like transgender in our schools. We shouldn't have things like pornographic books in our elementary school libraries, yet we do. And we proved that in Vernon when we went to a school board meeting, tried to ask some questions. The school board shut us down, did a lot of things to try to get us to leave. We wouldn't. They called the police. They came, you know, and the interesting part about it was Christine Perkins wanted one of our members charged for speaking out about this. And it did land on the RCMP's desk. But the RCMP went to Ellison Elementary School and pulled the pornographic books out of the library and then dropped the charges. So, you know, things like that. We need parents to be in control and not undermined by a government agenda that tells us what we should believe and think. Education. Oh, man, I left my job in 2004 because I wasn't allowed to talk about diet, nutrition, lifestyle, and I'm a behavior specialist, and our focus is to prescribe medication. It's a big pharma model, and they target our children, and sadly, our schools, we call it mental health, and it's horrifying what's happening, and so I wouldn't do that to my own children, so I left my career and went into a private practice where I'm a certified holistic health coach. We don't need to destroy our children's brains with pharmaceuticals. We need to stop feeding them chemically laden junk that affects their brains. And, you know, health starts at home and it starts at a very early age. There are solutions to that. And I'm a believer that if we address the health issues, the ill health and the addiction and all of the other stuff that's coming out of, you know, what we're witnessing will be addressed. Farmers, we have farming challenges right now where our farmers are not being able to farm and produce the food like we're used to. And we need to understand what that agenda is about. Water restrictions, you know, farmers are having their waters turned off. We need to ask, why is the government doing that? What's the purpose? What's the goal? Proactive readiness to secure our properties from fires. You know, Bill 31 is a bill that the provincial government passed. A year ago, Greg Kylo would say we had a right to stay and fight fires on our property. Bill 31 says that we don't have that right. The news will tell us that we're putting firefighters at risk. But the reality is, you know, there's an agenda there that people aren't aware of. There were people in fire season this year who were threatened if they didn't leave their property that they would be jailed or fined. You know, and when I talk to people, they are not aware of that. And so there's a lot of things that are going on behind the closed doors that we as British Columbians need to be aware of so that we can make informed decisions. So, you know, I just see party politics and their broken promises are too far removed from the needs of the people. And I believe, as many others in BC do, that it's time to resurrect a more direct relationship with community so the voice here in this riding are heard and acted upon. And I'm excited to be that voice as the Shuswap, Salmon Arm Shuswap MLA, and take our voice to the legislature. This area is huge. It includes Armstrong all the way out to Mabel Lake, to Sycamose, from Armstrong to West Side Road, all the way to Falkland, Salmon Arm, and all of the Shuswap. So it's a huge area. So I really believe that I can be that voice. I'm not afraid to speak. I have a lot of great support behind me and encouragement. And, you know, I may not know everything there is to know about being a politician, and it's a steep learning curve, but I'm willing to be that voice for this area.
What issues do you feel are the dominant matters in the Salmon Arm Shuswap riding that you will focus on if you were elected?
Okay, well, housing. Everybody needs to have a secure, safe, warm home. And so we need to figure out how, first of all, we have properties or homes that are selling for $1 million and making it unaffordable. We need to understand how we got here so we can correct it. The other thing, healthcare. You know, my husband had a heart attack in July and his specialist couldn't find him a doctor. He got a nurse practitioner, which is what we're going to a lot to today. But we need to find out, we need to understand why doctors and healthcare professionals are leaving the province. And we need to get back to, you know, doctor-patient care. It's none of the provincial government's business. You know, my medical records are my private medical records. You know, and they have no business threatening to be able to take that or threatening our doctors. I know a doctor who's been speaking up for the last 4.5 years who said the other night that if the NDP get in, he has to leave because they will put him in jail. That's crazy. You know, why are we as the people allowing this to continue? It's because we don't know. The economy, you know, we have to get people back to work. Today, more people in the trades are retiring than the young people are getting trained. So what's that going to look like in the future? We're not going to have tradespeople that we desperately need. Parental rights and schooling. You know, I don't have a lot of faith in the public school system. And when you see how much the homeschooling programs are growing and the alternate to the public school system, then people would, you know, understand that I think it becomes more of an indoctrination than it does an education system. Children are born with gifts. Our job is to bring those gifts out so that they can be, you know, healthy, active members of their community. But what we're doing is indoctrinating them to believe certain things and divide our country. And I think that needs to stop. Plus parental rights, parents know their children best. And that's where it should be. I think we need to repeal Bill 36, Bill 31, Bill 44, 46, 47 is a provincial dictate. They're sending in developers to our local municipal councils to tell us how we will build our communities. I don't believe that that is the solution ahead. I'm also a believer that we need to take care of Canadians. I had a lady that I met at the Salmon Arm Farmers Market who said, I get $1,600 a month as a pension. I've worked here my whole entire life. Why do the immigrants get $2,500 housing? Plus, if they get a job, they get their income paid by the government. And I don't believe when Justin Trudeau says the veterans are asking for more than they could give. And then we send so much of our tax dollars out of the country. You know, there's something really bad wrong there. And it comes back to most people don't know that we have a globalist agenda called ICLEI. ICLEI. And it's a sustainable development program that is attached to every municipal council. Most of the people signing on to it aren't reading the fine print to see exactly what that program is about. It's a globalist agenda. It's meant to get us off our land. It's meant to get us into 15-minute cities where they can control our activities. It's meant to have a digital platform so cash won't be around anymore. All things that lead the globalist ability to control us. And I believe that should be repealed. I'm actually involved with a group. It's called Kickley, and it's to kick ICLEI out of our local government. So I think there's bills that need to be repealed. DRIPA, another one, you know, that under the reconciliation. And we're talking about, you know, we're talking about things that most of us didn't do. And yet we need to learn to live together and support our First Nations and live, you know, as neighbors and encourage each other. So there's some things going on out there that are agendas that they've kept quiet because they don't want people to know. If we, the people, knew what was actually going on right under our noses, we could end this. Because when we, the people, say, no, that's enough, then, you know, the power is in our voice. There's a reason that they pass these bills on a Friday night just before dinner time on a long weekend, because most people aren't aware. And then the other thing, too, there's a lot of things that are going on behind our back as we deal with emergencies like fires. And, you know, 10 years ago, they talked about geoengineering and cloud seeding, and they were really proud about how it was going to control the climate change issues. Now today, we're actually living those things, and they call it conspiracy theory. So we as the people really need to get involved. We need to be active. We need to be knowledgeable so we can make informed decisions.
You've laid out a number of issues provincially. What provincial issues do you think are the most important?
Well, healthcare, housing, the economy. You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with doing an audit, you know, finding out, having the government be transparent and accountable. And I think we need consequences when we find out that we've been lied to, and we have been. So there's nothing really stopping government from getting away with things they do, you know, that we often find out years later was unlawful, when there's no consequences. And so there's a lot of issues. We need to support our farmers. Tomorrow is National Farmers Day. We need to, you know, put value in our farmers. You know, I'm a believer that if we put value in our farmers, then people don't need to be at a doctor's office all the time. So there's a lot that we can do to get back to basics. We can teach people at a young age how to grow food, how to care for themselves, how to be less dependent on government and more dependent on family, community, and, you know, teaching skills that, you know, my mother and grandmother taught me when I was a child. When I worked as a family counselor, behavior specialist, I realized that we stopped giving those next generations those skills of, you know, I ran a young mom's program in Armstrong at the time, which we had a lot of young mums who were raising children who didn't even know what a turnip was. We've taught our kids that food comes in a box or through a drive-through, and it's no wonder that we have the sickest generation of children out there, because they haven't been given, it's not their fault, it's what we've stopped teaching them. So I think we need to get back to living life, and what's important, you know. Growing food's important. Housing is important. Community, you know, learning basic life skills is what we need to do. And some of the stuff that we're being taught in school is a distraction to what's really important.
What is the one thing, or perhaps two or three things, that you'd really like to accomplish if you're elected?
I would like to focus on creating health and wellness. There's a difference between disease care management and health and wellness. We need to teach people where health and wellness comes from. I'm 66 years old. I literally haven't seen a medical doctor since I was 20, because I probably know more about my health than anybody else would ever know. And so I chose to make, you know, health a priority in my life. I'm interested in being an example of that to others. You know, medications aren't something that are my first go-to. It would be, what can I do that would make a difference to change that? And we need to be doing that with children. Children are on medications today that, when I was a kid, only grandparents got. So I think there's a way. The other thing, too, is the climate change. You know, we need to understand that there's a difference between pollution and climate change. I don't believe that we need the carbon tax. I think it is causing us to be poorer. It's not something that I heard Senator John Kennedy say once, if it costs $50 trillion, how much will it lower the temperature? You know, logic. It's not going to. The other thing, too, is we need to pay attention to the geoengineering and the cloud seeding. We can see it in our skies on a regular basis. I've started to watch, you know, what days the clouds are looking weird and not natural. And then, you know, looking at the heavy rains. Like, we had a rain a few weeks ago that was so heavy that our gutters couldn't keep up with it. And I mean, look at what's going on around the world right now, whether it's flooding or fires. And I don't believe a lot of that is natural. And, you know, the fact that they were bragging about it 10 years ago and how it was going to fix climate change, and now we're living what we are, you know, it's not rocket science to understand that they're manipulating what's going on and it's affecting us. So I believe that we need to bring the truth to our citizens, our constituents, so that people actually understood what climate change is about. We have a lot of politicians out there that are talking about, we just need more money, more taxes, and then it'll fix it. Well, it never has, and it's never going to. It's just taking money out of our pockets that we need to live. So, you know, I guess my main issues are the economy and making sure everybody has a roof over their head, a warm place to sleep, and food. We need to get our young people back to work in jobs that they, you know, that they're inspired to go to, not a job that you hate going to every day. So that means that we need to be tapping into their talents and building on what their God-given gifts are. You know, what they say is that when you do what you love, you never work another day in your life. And I believe that's very true. So we need to be giving them their solutions on on how they can build their future. So, and then we need to address our health care so that people who are not well have adequate and informed medical professionals that can help us. And I think that the climate change thing is something that we need to address. Canada is not the biggest polluter out there. We're far from it. Plus, we have trees that clean our CO2. We don't need to be cutting down our trees. We need to understand the how the forests work. I don't believe we should be spraying our forests with glyphosate and killing our trees. You know, we wouldn't have the fires we had today if we would leave that kind of thing alone. You know, Mother Nature will always know better than we do. We just need to trust. And I think we need to go back to talking to the First Nations experts who did this for many years. And, you know, there's an agenda out there, and it's not in our favor. And we can address every issue with we the people being educated so they can make informed decisions.
How do you tend to try and achieve these goals if you're in office?
I'm going to listen to the constituents. I'm going to listen to the people who bring their concerns. And I don't know all of the things that are, I'm learning right now that there's things that I didn't know were happening right in our communities. And so we need to, you know, we need to start listening to the people. And then, you know, often the people have the solutions. They know what needs to do to happen to change the issues and the concerns they're bringing forth. So we need to have those conversations and trust that we have the people right in our backyard that can fix and address anything that we need to give the power back to the people and take it away from the party politics that seem to think that they know best what's for us. You know, a lot of them have never even been in our communities. So, you know, it starts in our own backyard. It starts in our own elected municipalities and mayors that we're electing. And then it goes to the legislature, and we need to have a voice there, which if you have the wrong voice, you get fired. And then it goes up to even more with the federal government. Again, I come back to accountability, transparency, and consequences. And I'd like to see, you know, I think people may would make different decisions if they had consequences. And so I'm a believer in we the people.
If you're elected, what are the things you would like to be remembered for after you've completed your time in office?
Well, I mean, we've been through a lot in the last four and a half years. Much of what was unlawful and not in alignment with the Canadian Constitution. So I would really like not only my constituents, but my grandchildren to see me as a person who wasn't afraid to ask questions, wasn't afraid to push back against, you know, this... It's scary. I mean, a lot of people have gone silent. I talk to a lot of people all the time who thank me for telling the truth, you know, and I mean, it speaks volumes when people are afraid to speak the truth. And it's why we are here where we're here today. So I believe that, first of all, we need to know what the truth is. We need to speak it. We need to, you know, be there for our constituents who are also, you know, being there. And I also believe that we need to give British Columbians a reason to vote for somebody that will speak the truth. We need to, you know, engage them and so that they want to vote, not like you're pulling teeth, but to get out there and say, I know what the issues are. I believe that there's a person that can be our voice. And then elect that person, and then, you know, and then our legislature needs to listen. And so I think the independent movement is the right direction. I don't believe it's going to be fixed in this election, but this isn't a one and done. This is a start of a movement that will gradually, I think, gain speed. When I signed up as an independent, there was probably 8 or 10 of us. There's now 38 independents running in BC. Not all of them are true independents. Some of them came from the folding of the United BC Party. But the other thing I'd like to mention is that there's a new website out there created by a couple of very knowledgeable men that I respect in this community or this province. One of them is a very vocal doctor, and they have created a program called Political Scorecards, Smart Vote BC. British Columbians don't know who to vote for. They don't know who's running. I hear all the time, we're going to vote for the lesser of two evils. Why is that good enough? Why are we always voting out the lesser of two evils when we could actually vote in people who have a voice for our ridings? And so I encourage people to go to the politicalscorecard.ca. Check out, you can check out every politician in British Columbia right now. You can see what they've done in the past if they were elected. People who are new to politics, you can see there was a questionnaire that we filled out. I think it had like 25 questions. And so you can see what they stand for. Eventually, this political scorecard will have every politician in Canada. And then that'll give people more of an idea of who's running, what they stand for, if it's somebody that they could put faith in and elect. And that's one of the things that I keep saying to people, because I hear a lot about you're splitting the vote. Well, I don't believe you can split a vote when 60 to 70% of BC aren't voting. I think and I don't believe that voting for the lesser of two evils is wise. And so what I believe is that the independent movement are people that will speak for us at the legislature and take our voice there for our communities. And that gives our local constituents a reason to vote.
Sherry, are there any final comments you'd like to make?
I'm kind of surprised how much fun I'm having. I'm meeting a lot of people. I've met a lot of people over the last 4.5 years. I often hear, I attended an event at your house. I actually hosted Maxime Bernier in 2022 as we were, you know, supporting the People's Party of Canada. But again, now I'm starting to realize that all party politics has a globalist agenda. And so I opted to look into the independent movement. And I really encourage other people to do so because, you know, a lot of us, this isn't where we come from. But we're here because we want to make a difference in our province and try to turn this around. I'm worried about where we're going to go if we the people don't take control of our, not only our province, but our country.
Thank you, Sherry, for coming in, and good luck in the election. This is CKVS FM 93.7, Voice of the Shoe Shop. You've been listening to our interview with Sherry Roy, who is running as an independent candidate in the upcoming provincial election in our riding, which is Salmon Arm Shoe Swap.